Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
He seems to have found ground, legs, with the left by mocking President Trump. Like a ChatGPT personality, he's just borrowing now from President Trump, copying his style with X posts. Now he's even going for his own MAGA-style merch. The shop includes items like Newsom was right about everything hat, or he has a Newsom 2026 mug. He even has a Bible priced at $100 that he tweets out, already sold out. His personality, just a shadow. Shadows on the wall, a Xerox copy of others. But that works on the left.
The governor's incompetent. You know, Gavin, I know Gavin very well. He's an incompetent guy with a good line of bullshit. And he doesn't get the job done.
Well, that was Donald Trump there. Before that, you heard Will Bain of Fox News. And their ire is firmly aimed right now at Gavin Newsom, the Democratic governor of California. But Newsom has his own take on Donald Trump. Let's have a listen to how he described his relationship with the US president on the show Diary of a CEO.
I think he wants to take me out and down. At the same time, I think he enjoys the sparring with me. I think he thrives on it. I know he does.
Because he calls you Gavin New Scum.
Yes.
But then meets with you privately.
Yeah.
And what are those meetings like?
Unbelievably cordial. It drives people crazy when I say this, but I'd be lying if I didn't say it. Every time I have a conversation, including the night before he, quote unquote, federalized the National Guard, we had an unbelievably good conversation. And we were going back and forth. He said, use this cell phone. Keep calling me on this cell phone directly. You need anything, call me. You need anything, call me, which is an amazing final statement as I hung up, only to read 8 hours later that new scum. I read him the Riot Act, which he never did, completely made, 100% made it up, and then federalizes the guard. It's a game. It's a show. It's a dangerous game.
Well, performances like that are leading some Democrats to conclude that Newsom's aggressive, in-your-face tactics are just what the party needs to confront Trump's MAGA movement. Well, Marion McKeown joins me now to discuss all of this. Hello, Marion.
Hello, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. At the very least, this is all fascinating, isn't it? To see Gavin Newsom stepping up now where, you know, the Democrats really have been floundering since Donald Trump won the election. Somebody has decided to do something, right?
I think that is a lot of what the Democrats are thinking, that thank God somebody is standing up and throwing a few punches and is not afraid of what people will think, because Democrats are always so afraid that they'll be seen to be mean or whatever. And there was a really illuminating interview with Gavin Newsom yesterday, Claire, just yesterday. And I spoke to a couple of his aides and they said that he really realized during the California fires that basically, you have to fight fire with fire. And they weren't making a cheap pun there. They said that there was so much disinformation coming out from Trump and his fellow tweeters saying that it was all Newsom's fault. They refused to release this mythical water, wouldn't sign this non-existent document, and that the fires were started as a satanic cult, that the Hollywood sign was on fire, all of this stuff that they were, and none of it was true. And he said, we don't have time to think about how we're going to respond. We have to respond in real time and we have to hit back harder. And throughout the California fires, and I was there in Los Angeles and around, he was doing 10 press conferences a day. His team were tweeting nonstop. They were getting information out there. So they were drowning the misinformation with accurate information, but they weren't doing it politely. They were calling out the liars. And I think that he, in this interview yesterday, he said, look, that he realized after the recall, there was a recall campaign to take him out because he was seen by Republicans as the biggest threat to a second victory for Trump. They really believed that he'd usurp Biden in some way and become the candidate. So anyway, he said that changed his mind about how he has to fight, that politics is no longer local, it's national. It has been nationalized and weaponized. And he said that really the last 6 months he has seen what's happened. And to use his words, he said he's on the other side of giving a damn about people's feelings, that he sees the threat in such vivid terms. But what's so effective about this, about his trolling, is First of all, it's funny. You cannot help but laugh. And secondly, it is sending the right and Fox News in particular into an absolute tailspin. They are melting down with rage and fury. But what he is doing is he's doing exactly what Trump does. And then they're coming on air and they're saying he's supposed to be a governor. How dare he not be serious? How dare he behave in this ridiculous, insane manner? But at the same time, he's going, well, I'm just doing what the president's doing.
Yeah, so, you know, it's the social media posts in the block capital letters, you know, singing his own praises. Is that
and all the Trump phrases, all exactly. The thank you for your attention to this matter. And when he talks about somebody in brackets, never heard of her until today, like Jean Pirro, JD just damn Vance with his eyeliner. My map, the lines on my map are so much prettier than his eyeliner. You know, it's the juvenile stuff that Trump says, but in between. And the thing is, Claire, on its own, this is a novelty. This is just like, yeah, it's making people laugh, and it's also overtaking the algorithm. So it's quite clever. If you know your tech and how tech works, it's actually very clever because it's attracting the same algorithms and getting the same coverage as the Trump stuff. But he's also interspersing it by pointing out really serious things that are being done in California, California's successes, and the fact that Los Angeles has a much lower crime rate than Mike Johnson, Louisiana, four times lower than all of these cities in red states. So he's getting in between the mocking and the trolling, he's getting in hard digs.
So what I want to know from you, though, is who is he? Because you have that side, you know, those very clever social media posts, and I wonder, is there somebody behind him who's pulling the strings very effectively?
Oh, yeah.
And then when I see him, and I watched a lot of that podcast, nearly 2 hours long, the Diary of a CEO podcast, he's a very performative guy, isn't he? He's very slick. He knows when to display emotion, when to stand back, perfect teeth. You know, he's got all the makings of somebody who might run for president. But tell us more about who he is.
You know, I always think that if Netflix were going to, he would be the character, wouldn't
That's
he?
It.
He would
be, he's come from central casting.
Central casting, yeah. Ticks every box. He's tall, he's good looking, he's smart, he's articulate, he's witty. You know, he's like literally, if they hadn't had, was it Martin Sheen for West Wing, they could have put him in, except for he doesn't quite have that humanity. Gavin Newsom is a tough operator. Mm-hmm. He's a tough guy beneath, you know, he comes from a very wealthy background, very privileged. And I have been really skeptical for years about whether he could make the transition onto the national stage as a presidential candidate, because he's a liberal Californian vineyard owner. His family owned vineyards. They're related to the Pelosis. They're all part of this. The thing that sets so much of America's teeth on edge is they're part of this liberal, wealthy California elite. And we remember one of the things that really went against him was he was an effective. I was in LA for most of the COVID lockdown. He was a very effective governor in a lot of ways. And for its size, California's death rate was much lower than Florida or other Texas or other big states. But he was, there's a restaurant in Big Sur, which is one of the most beautiful places in California and one of the most expensive, called the French Laundry. And it's you'd have to sell your house to get a starter. It's insanely expensive. But during the lockdown, when nobody was allowed out, he had a family celebration in the French Laundry, and that was run with and justifiably, because it said two things. It said, okay, the rules, he doesn't think the rules apply for him, and not only that, but he's in the most expensive restaurant, one of the most expensive and elite and hard to get into in the whole of the United States. So, you know, that sent out one Gavin Newsom message. The other thing I should say is he was also married to Kimberly Guilfoyle, who, as you may remember, was engaged to Donald Trump.
That's right.
Before she was sent off on a little foray to Greece, where she's currently the ambassador. And people are going, what? He was married to Kimberly Guilfoyle? Because, you know, before she was engaged to Donald Trump and was a fixture and one of the most vociferous fixtures on the MAGA circuit, she was a Fox News commentator and host, and she was fired from Fox News and you know, for various reasons. And she is a character that, let's just say, an aspiring president would not want to be associated with, unless, of course, they're Donald Trump Jr. And so So there were things in his past, and he also had this photo shoot of him spooning his current wife on the floor in the Getty Mansion. So there are things that he has done, but you know, there are things that Trump has done too. It's just that people think Trump is a street brawler. That side of him is authentic, and they get that he's a guy from Queens and he's a nasty guy and he can be funny and he hates the same people that a lot of poor Americans hate, and they can all buy into that. Newsom, it's harder because he's not vulgar. He's tough and he's smart, and he has been, he's made mistakes, but he's been a pretty good governor.
Well, it's just, it's harder for the Democrats to get away with anything. And you made this point earlier. It's that Obama take.
We go high.
We go high, and if they go low, we go high. And that's that's what the expectation has been up till now. But he's doing this about turn where he's saying, I'm prepared to get my hands dirty because you have to get down and fight. And it just remains to be seen whether it's going to work. So are the Democrats now seriously looking at this guy as a potential presidential candidate?
You know, I think they've always been looking at him, and I think he's been looking at himself even longer. And I think one of the reasons that when people came after Joe Biden after that disastrous debate, and what was really, as I think we've said before, Claire, a catastrophic decision by him to even seek a second term at all, not to just be a one and done term president. But Newsom stayed loyal to him because I think he was keeping his powder dry and he didn't want to alienate anyone in 2028. And I think he will certainly run. I mean, he's got all the qualifications. You know, his handling of the fires in LA was by any standard extraordinarily competent. I mean, that you didn't see a single complaint. And believe me, I was there. People were looking for things to complain about. The efficiency and the oversight was quite remarkable. And, you know, he has, as I said, he ticks the boxes, two-term governor of the fourth largest economy in the world. Mm-hmm. He's tough. He's willing to take on Trump. But as I said, he's not a Democrat. I remember him before being at a press conference he held, and somebody was saying something about something he was doing he didn't like. And he went, well, you know what? If they don't like it, don't vote for me. I don't care. You know, so he's
just
not
different.
He doesn't play nicey-nicey. Even before all this, he's not afraid of getting down and dirty with people, and it could be his wealth, his confidence, you know, the fact that he has such an exalted place on the Democratic totem pole anyway. But again, the question is whether it will translate. There was a feeling that the days of rich white men, the Democratic Party running as candidates, were over. But we've seen what's happened. And I think in 2028, Democrats just want to win. And if it takes Gavin Newsom, then so be it.
Okay.
But a lot of Democrats would hold their nose, I can tell you.
All right.
On that.
Maybe the wealth and the confidence won't play well for him, but as remains to be seen. Marion McKeown, always good to talk to you. Thank you very much for being with us. Now, coming up, what's it like to move to Ireland from Nigeria alone as a teenager on a scholarship? Well, author Dagogo Hart used his experience to inform his new children's book, and we'll meet him shortly. Plus, we're going to go to Cork, where authorities are dealing with that Asian hornet nest discovery.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.